The eyes of all look expectantly to you, O God, and you give them their food in due season. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, welcome to Parade Day in the village of Dousman. What we see is a metaphor for the culture in which we live today, that we will see a smaller crowd, if you can call this a crowd, in our worship today, less than half of what we normally see, certainly a fraction of what we normally see on a Sunday morning. But yet there will be thousands of people lining the streets, maybe not thousands. I don't know how many people come to this parade, but that's, you know, hundreds, at least hundreds lining the streets out there to watch all of those things go by. It reminds me much of what we experience on Palm Sunday. We hear that gospel lesson of Jesus going through the streets of Jerusalem, and his followers are very few at that point compared to the crowds lining the streets to see the spectacle. I think that is a good description of the world around us today. That people come out to see the spectacle, and they come out to watch. They have no expectation at all that their lives will be changed, or even can be changed, if they're thinking that way at all. They're simply standing there, lining up to see the show. And so what happens? They watch the show, and they turn around, and they walk away. We're told in Scripture not to be like one who looks in a mirror and then immediately forgets what he looks like when he walks away. What that means is that we are supposed to take that which we hear and see and experience, that which we are, and we are to then let that affect the way we live our lives. So when we come to worship, we can't just worship and then go home and not be changed. That's as good as going to the parade and seeing all the stuff go by and not be changed. But we are called to actually embrace that which we see and hear and experience and allow it to change us. Now that can happen in a couple of different ways. If you go to the parade and you see everything going by, there's lots of fire trucks, Ralph's favorite thing, right? Lots of fire trucks. And that might actually inspire a young person, a young boy or a young girl, to see that and think, I want to be a firefighter. That would be a good thing. That would be a positive way in which that experience affected that person and they went out and changed their life. They might see those little miniature go-karts that go spinning around. And if they see that and decide, I want to be a miniature go-kart racer, okay, mom and dad, I want to be a miniature go-kart racer. How's that one going to go over? That might not be such a positive. I mean, it's not necessarily a bad thing, and I'm not, hopefully disparaging things about those miniature go-kart people, but that's not necessarily a life's vocation, is it? So that would be a way in which that experience didn't necessarily affect the person the way that they should have when they watched the parade. Now let's take that to what we're doing in here. We expect God to work and move in our lives. And so when we come to worship, we should expect that God will speak to us, that God will change us, that God will do something in our lives something that we've been praying for. Some kind of word given to us. Some way that we might be able to minister to another person. A healing in our family or in ourselves. And that's what this expectation is. And so we come and we stand and we worship. But we talked many times here about how we're going every day a little bit more against the culture that's out there. And yet God calls us to be here and to be a living witness to Jesus Christ in this world. We try to do that daily for ourselves, for our loved ones, in our families, for the people we meet in our vocations, the things that we do, the people we encounter. But it's not always an easy task. So you give me one more slide, please. Well, go back. There it is. That's the one we want. This is the verse that we've been studying. This is week number 3 now. This was the theme of the convocation, that big convention that the Charismatic Episcopal Church had in Las Vegas at the beginning of July. And we have been relating this verse and this call to the gospel lessons that we experienced over the last 3 weeks and to what we're called to do and be in this church. Now remember in part 1, you can listen to these sermons online. In part 1, we talked about the gospel lesson where Jesus sends forth his disciples 2 by 2. And those very few people go out and change the world. That Jesus gives them a call and empowers them to go out and preach the message of salvation, to preach the saving message of Jesus, to repent and return to the Lord, all of those things. That was part 1. In part 2, we see that the disciples came back to Jesus and they spent time with him, and they spent time in prayer, and they discerned what they'd done, and they talked about the experiences they had out in the world. And we liken that to being here every Sunday. God sends us out, and then God calls us back. Well, now in part 3 in the gospel lesson, we're in John chapter 6, and it says, after these things, after he sends them out, after they come back to him and they spend time in prayer and reflection and being empowered again and getting their batteries recharged, if you will, it says they go over to the Sea of Galilee, and then we hear about the feeding of these 5,000 folks. Well, that's an interesting scene after the two that we've studied. The great multitude follows him. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. If you were following along, we were on page in that Bible right in your pew. It's on page 1227. And of course, we as sacramental liturgical Christians, we think immediately of Eucharist when Jesus takes the bread and breaks it and gives it to the people. But they ask him, where are we going to get enough bread to feed all of these people? How can we possibly feed all of these people? Very similar to the question they were probably thinking about when he called them 2 by 2 and sent them out to evangelize. They probably left that place. You know, they gave Jesus a high five and said, we're going to go out and do what you tell us to do. And as soon as they walked out the door in pairs, they looked at each other and they said, how are the two of us going to go out and change this world? How could we possibly do that? And yet, Jesus empowers them to do that very thing. And many of them saw the changes in the people, in the population there. But they asked the same question again, even after coming, having come back to Jesus and reflecting upon it. They ask, how can we possibly have enough bread for all of these people? And it's the question that many of us ask here today. We look at this church and we look at the numbers we have compared to what's going on in the world, and we think, how can we, given the size we are, possibly make a difference in this world? And yet, the example's right there for us. He sends them out in very small numbers. They go out and change the world. They come back continually learning, growing, spending more time with Jesus in prayer, and then Jesus shows them exactly what they're going to do. Jesus says, I'm going to feed everybody. And in this example, it's with bread. In this example, it's that physical food. In our example, it is with the message of the gospel. Jesus says, I'm going to feed everybody with the message of the gospel. And all you have to do is go out and distribute in one way or another. Well, back to that verse. Why does that verse keep disappearing? There it is. Nehemiah 2:18. This was the verse at our convocation. Their theme was the line here in the quotes, let us rise up and build. That was the theme of the convocation. But I want us to look at the whole verse, and that's what we've been doing the last 3 weeks as we reflect on all of these things that we're talking about, and that in Nehemiah, God says, I told them the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. The hand of God was upon them to do what God had told them to do. God didn't just say, go rise up and build. God put his hand upon them to do that. And that's what we believe is happening in our church, in this little congregation, in congregations throughout the whole of the Charismatic Episcopal Church, and even in our denomination in this country, but worldwide. That the hand of God is upon us to answer this call to rise up and build. And so what do we have to do? We have to do the last part of the verse. They set their hands to this good work. They actually took up the task of doing it. Our mission field is 2 blocks that way right now, and they're all lined up. They're all lined up to watch dump trucks and fire trucks and little go-karts and horses and buggies and chariots and antique cars and acrobats and who knows. They're out there. And as we proclaim that we will answer this call to rise up and build, what we're building is the kingdom of God. We're not building Bread of Life Church so that we have full pews and that we've got all the money we need, we don't have to worry about anything. We're not building the central diocese so that we're bigger than any other diocese and our bishop can, you know, flaunt that over his peers. He would never do such a thing. We're not building the Charismatic Episcopal Church denomination. But what we're doing is building up the kingdom of God. And so when we rise up and build, it's because the hand of God is upon us, and because we recognize that, that we then set our hands to that good work. So how do we do it? I think we have better instructions than what the disciples had. Now, we didn't sit with Jesus. You know, let's be fair about it. He told them a lot of things that we don't have written down in Scripture. But when he sends them out 2 by 2, none of them had a Bible. Think about that. None of them had a Bible. They had the message of Jesus. They had the presence of Jesus. But they didn't have the reference. They didn't have somebody ask them a question and say, well, I think there's a verse in here that addresses that. They didn't have that. But they went forth and did it anyway. When we go forth, it is inspired, led, guided, directed, corrected, reproofed, and empowered by the Holy Word of God in Scripture. This is our evangelical stream, folks, that we believe this is the holy and inspired Word of God. And this doesn't change. You're not going to look up a verse today and then have a whole bunch of things happen in the news over the next 3 months and then look up that verse again and see that God changed His mind. God has yet to do that. We have to be led and guided by this, as difficult as it may be sometimes. But this is who we're called to be and what we're called to do. And so when we go out into the world, it has to be empowered by this. Because God will speak to us through this word. God will speak to us through liturgy and sacrament. God will speak to us through bread and wine. There are so many different ways God speaks to us. I mean, we look out at creation and see how God speaks to you. And all of us can list different things in which God has spoken to us, where we're blessed, where we are, you know, experiencing the wonderful, powerful presence of God. So when we build up, it's again, how do we do it? The theme of our convocation, let us rise up and build. And it was based, the theme of that week was on marriage and family. Strong marriages, strong families. So who's ready to have another baby? I don't see anybody raising their hands. And my hand's going down fast. I want you to know that. That was just an example. Yeah, most of us past that stage. That was a very generous way to phrase that too, folks. So, but what we can do is we can embrace. I mean, we have, you know, the families here. The children that we have here, we can, you know, the whole concept of a village to raise a child. We need to be in prayer for that. Think of how difficult it is to have children at any time in the world, but in today's world. Trying to raise godly children in today's world, but then sending them off to a public school, I can't even imagine it. Can't even imagine it. And we read every day about different ways in which Christianity in particular is violently attacked, particularly in our public school system. Yeah, I've spoken over the years, maybe this is a little bit of an aside, but just a comment that, you know, I know a lot of people that, you know, they'll go out and vote if we're electing the president, but those off-year elections and everything, a lot of people don't vote. We see the numbers and the turnout's real low. You know, the most important elections that we might face every time we elect in our communities, the school boards. We elect the people that sit on the school boards. And yet, by and large, those elections are ignored. We've been given a wonderful, tremendous gift. And I tell you what, one of the bishops at our convocation, all the American bishops were there, and there were some retired bishops, but one of the bishops there didn't speak. He was just there attending, and you know, I saw him sitting up there, and it was the Bishop of Pakistan. That bishop in our denomination that has been exiled from Pakistan for years, who had to move his family to the United States for fear of their lives, because if he left them there, he was afraid that they would be kidnapped or worse. And yet his mission, his life's calling, is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to Pakistan. And he sat at that convocation, and I looked at that man sitting up there, and I said, you know, praise God that we're here. excuse me, praise God, we're in a place where we can have a convocation like that out in the open and sing these songs as loud as we can. And you could probably hear them, you know, in the whole convention center, you know, down in the casino part. And I think, why was it in a casino in Las Vegas? Everything's a casino in Las Vegas. You can't go to any place without having those machines. The airport, the grocery store, the gas station, they're everywhere. And we were there praising God as loud as we could with 500 people singing Christian songs. And I looked at that man sitting there, said, he's drinking in every minute of this. And I've actually known him for a very long time. He's a wonderful Christian man. And I said, he longs for the day that he could hold an event like this in Pakistan. We are called. This message is longer than others, and you think, you know, a day with, you know, not a lot of people, why such a long message? Well, we're, you know, it's going to be online. I hope people listen to it, go back to it, reflect on it as we reflect on Nehemiah 2:8, as we rise up and build. But we have to bring our prayer lives to the children of this parish, to the children of the CEC. That was another impression we had at the convocation, was how many little kids. Oh my gosh, when the kids came up for communion, it was nonstop. Where are all these kids coming from? But it was fantastic. It was hope for us. It was the life of the church for us. We thought, wow, this is great.
Chris,
yeah.
One thing they brought out, we always hear, the children are the church of tomorrow. No, the children are the church of today.
Yeah.
That's what was brought out at that convocation.
Yeah, absolutely it was. Absolutely it was. Children are the church. They're the church right now. They're as much the church now as we are the church right now. And if nothing else, as we rise up and build, we need to pray for all of the children in this parish, but in our communities. And we need to embrace that and to figure out how we're going to do that. And I might have shared with you that, you know, we pray for our daughter every day, but now we've taken on a special commitment, Dawn and I, in our daily prayers to pray for all of the children in our extended family. Not that we didn't pray for them before, but we felt a very special call to lift them up in prayer in this very difficult world in which they live. So let us rise up and build, knowing that the hand of God is upon us and that we are called to set our own hands to that good work. Father God, we thank you for the convocation, for the gathering of the Charismatic Episcopal Church, and for the call that you have placed upon us to proclaim the gospel in a world that so desperately needs to hear it. Father, help us as we embrace these things to enter into a commitment of prayer for this congregation, for all of our members, but especially for that generation that so desperately needs to hear the saving message of the gospel. Lord Jesus, you fed the 5,000 without batting an eyelash, Lord. It was no issue to you. So help us to set our hands to go out to present the bread of life and the cup of salvation to this hurting world. Father, use us in whatever way you can. Let us be prayer warriors for all of those for whom we love and care, but especially for those who have yet to turn their hearts to you. Lord, thank you for the congregation you have gathered here today. We pray for all of those who, for whatever reason, could not be with us or decided not to come today, Lord, because of the length of this day, as they know they couldn't go back and forth. Father, for all of those out lining up on this parade who see nothing but a spectacle, bring the words of Jeremiah to our heart. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Let this gospel of Jesus Christ and our witness in the world be something to them, Lord, that they will come to know, love, and accept you as their Lord and Savior. All of this we ask in the holy and precious name of Jesus. Amen.